This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you in. It's a big week. It's Thanksgiving week here, not just on the network, but again, oh, I got my pick in for Betsgiving. You can follow along. Go to VSIN.com or go to DraftKings. Join the group. I can give you the spoiler alert. I'm going to win, but me and Dustin against our colleagues, Betsgiving, we can go ahead and throw it up. It's our second annual. Good job, Goulet. Good job, Mr. Mead and the crew putting this together. It's a little something-something, a little stuffing for the holidays as we say hi. That's the big guy on the right, Dustin Sweetelson, live from the D Bar Canada, downtown Las Vegas, Fremont Street. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you in. I mentioned a huge week. Did you know that it is rivalry week in college football? I've actually ranked 10 rivalries coming up this weekend and their importance when it comes to the college football playoff picture. Of course, you have the game in Ann Arbor with Michigan hosting Ohio State. By the way, I have three specific reasons Michigan is going to pummel Ohio State. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. That number right now is 4. Wipe the smile off your face, big guy, because I'm going to run circles around you when we get to that game. Also, the Iron Bowl. I think those are the two. People sleep a little bit on Oregon State because it's just not well known as the Iron Bowl or Michigan, Ohio State. You know, I've often talked about rivalries in Michigan. We used to load up the station wagon as a family. My dad would get off the post office. We'd all roll into the station wagon. We'd put the car top carrier on top of the wagon, and we'd drive down to Florida and hang out at my grandma's trailer outside of West Palm Beach, right? So we used to do that. And every time we drove through Ohio, what happened? You'd see the cherries in the rear view. We'd get pulled over because we had Michigan license plates. I tell you that because that's how much the rivalry means between Michigan and Ohio State. We got pulled over just because we were flashing Michigan plates. So, of course, the big game, both teams 11-0, undefeated, just like last year. Michigan's won 2 straight in the series, so we'll get to that one coming up. The Iron Bowl doesn't have the luster, big guy, as others in the past. Now, we also have some action tonight, 5 games in the NBA to whet your appetite. And then we have 2 days from now, and I texted John Goulet. I'm so happy about this. We actually have the day off. 2 days from now, we've got Thanksgiving, and we've got 3 games. I just want to give you the numbers quickly as far as the Thanksgiving games because we're watching the movement here. Green Bay at Detroit to kick it off. Early game, 7.5 is the number. That's an interesting number, and we'll discuss why coming up in just a little bit. 47 on the total. You got the sandwich with Washington and Dallas. Washington with losses to Seattle and then a loss to your boy Salami DeVito at home. Takes a little bit of the luster in Dallas. Shout to Goulet, shout to Femi, shout to Ross. Dallas plays so well at home, you're going to see doubles. As a matter of fact, we're sitting 11, minus 11 with Dallas laying at 48.5 on the total. Careful now, they're streaky, the Commanders, but Howell can score. That kid is thrown for as many yards as anybody in football. It's fascinating. Bieniemy, we'll talk about Bieniemy and maybe the Chiefs missing out on the offensive play caller there in D.C. The late game, San Francisco at Seattle on Thanksgiving. Right now, you got a number of 6.5. We had Steve Fezzik on the show yesterday, and he talked about why America's tease on Thanksgiving isn't a good idea, and that is San Francisco coming down to 0.5 and Detroit coming down to 1.5. San Francisco 6.5 at Seattle, 43.5 on the total. Geno Smith, after maybe getting hit as hard as anybody's been hit in a decade, Aaron Donald, who continues, he's a top 5 defender of all time. He absolutely pummeled Geno Smith in that win, the Rams over Seattle this past weekend. But Geno Smith is listed as the starter. So that is on tap for Thanksgiving as we open it up. We've got a ton to do today. I've got Tom Brady, okay? I've got Tom Brady reliving the glory days, which is such a tired trope. But wait till you hear what Tom Brady had to say about current football and what's going on today. Matt Canada, he gone. Tomlin said, this is on me. Matt Canada's been fired as the offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh, which only leads to one question. How come? Why? I didn't think anything was amiss. Seemed like it was a good relationship. It felt like Steelers fans were big on the offensive coordinator. Not at all. Of course, he had DTR, a rookie, beat the Steelers this past weekend. Kenny Pickett was outplayed by the fifth rounder. And Kenny Pickett, I think a lot of this has to do with the big question, and this is a question that completely just overrides everything as far as 32 NFL franchises. Like, what do you have at that position? The Jets are going through it. It's an identity crisis if you don't have a quarterback. And really where it starts to get confounding, or it starts to get interesting, is where you get to that year and a half point, like the Steelers. You know, Pickett starts last year. I think they started Trubisky to start the year, but he started most of the season, had a long runway, and then comes into this year. And there's been a regression. Now, you can point to Canada and use that as an excuse, but Pickett has regressed a little bit. You got to figure out, by the time this year is done, big guy, and we'll welcome in Dustin Sweetelson, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you're Mike Tomlin, you got to figure out what you have at quarterback. So Matt Canada, that's the news in the NFL, has been fired as the OC with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's cracking, big guy.
All right. Well, are you proud of yourself? Bragging yes. on the air about running circles around me? You understand it sounds like I ran a marathon when I tie my shoes in the morning.
Well, you are a donk. I thought you were going to say, are you proud of yourself for not using donk within the first 5 minutes of the program? Well, yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Well, you just used it.
Matt Canada is out. No surprise there.
No, but like, look, I get everyone couldn't stand Matt Canada. He wasn't given much to work with with Kenny Pickett. But you can't fire quarterbacks, so you do something else because you got to figure out if Kenny Pickett's the dude or not. I can tell you right now he's not. I mean, I think I have a better arm than him, and I can't lift my arm all the way up. Like, that guy has no arm to be an NFL quarterback. He is a guy who looks like a quarterback when he doesn't go under center and doesn't have the ball in his hands because he's got long hair and people think like he has the build of some of these modern quarterbacks happening around the league like Herbert and Burrow, and he reminds them of them. But he has no skills. Like, there's nothing special about Kenny Pickett. And that's why the Steelers drafted him where they did. I still stand by the fact that the Steelers have a Mike Tomlin problem, Patrick. And that as long as Mike Tomlin's the head coach of the Steelers, you will never be bad enough to get a pick, to get the quarterback that changes the direction of your franchise.
Are you going to hit me with this shtick this early in the program? Are we going to talk about Mike Tomlin in a negative vein? Like, this is what you want to do right now. First off, I totally agree with you. Just to go back, I thought it was an apt take on Kenny Pickett. Nothing special. Nothing stands out. That's why in a bad draft, he fell to 16.
Yep.
And the Steelers were absolutely grasping for a local product. But the Mike Tomlin situation, you want to go ahead and zip it over there, big guy?
Well, no, I'm saying he's too good. You can never tank as long as you have Mike Tomlin. All these teams get these picks because of tanking. You're able to lose and then win because you have a high draft pick. Mike Tomlin makes up for so many deficiencies in your roster week in and week out with his ability to put the team in the right position that you're going to win games you shouldn't. And that's what they've been doing with Kenny Pickett, who's not a good quarterback. He's probably a bottom 10 quarterback. Like, I think he's in that Jordan Love category, honestly. Like, that's where he is.
Oh, I totally agree.
Like, he's
by the way, Jordan Love, he had the best game of his career against, and I guess it's not necessarily a stretch, but against the Chargers. But I totally agree with the analogy, Pickett and Love. Totally agree.
Yeah,
and by the way, both franchises in the same situation. They got to figure out what they have going into next year.
I'd say the only thing the Steelers have working in their favor is if there is a disgruntled veteran quarterback that wants a change of scenery, they're one of the few organizations that will always be in the mix for that. But I don't know if that's their style. I don't know if that's what they're looking to do.
We closed. That's the big guy, Dustin. You can find him. He's funny on Twitter.
Sometimes.
At Dustin Sweetelson. Just a couple of notes for today's program. 3 hours. Sit back. Enjoy. If you have the week off because of Thanksgiving, enjoy the content today because we're packed.
Real
Jake
quick.
Asbin. Yeah, go ahead.
The week off. I noticed a lot of schools do the whole week off now. Maybe it's because I grew up where we had to have snow days baked in, but we did not have the full week off. We had Thursday and Friday off growing up. Didn't you?
So why are you ratting on kids that have a week off? Like, are you going to go into a participation trophy rant after this?
No, it's just like,
are kids soft these days? Did you used to climb a hill to get to school?
No, but those kids become adults one day and think that they're supposed to take this week off too.
Jake Asman, is going to join us. You're clever. ESPN Radio New York. We'll talk about, of course, the Jets and the Giants. Will we see Aaron Rodgers? Brock Vereen. If you haven't seen Brock Vereen on the show, dude's got a great personality. He's going to join coming up in 51 minutes. Tim Jenkins, our quarterback guru, will join. And is it Tuesday, November 21st? I think it is. A little Berkey Tuesday here on Sharp Money. What'd you say?
Tuesday.
Okay. Now, unders are 12-1. We talked about it yesterday, just a preponderance of unders in primetime games. 12-1 on Monday Night Football, a 21-17 win for the Eagles. Something that just doesn't happen to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs went down yesterday, and that is leading at the half to come back to lose. We're going to discuss that when we come back. And I think part of what makes football popular is not just fantasy football and sports betting. It's the anticipatory nature. It's once a week. It's standalone. It's 17 games. There's a uniqueness to it. The physicality. Like, everybody's into football. The ratings bear that out. But the other aspect of football that's slept on is it's pretty easy to diagnose. There's a reason the Chiefs haven't been atop anybody's power rankings this year. Like, they're defending champs. They have the best football player on the planet. Yet everybody's looking for other teams to leapfrog the Chiefs when they went into last night sitting on 7 wins and the best team in the AFC. Why? It's pretty easy. There's a very easy answer. And when we come back, we'll discuss and tell you why. Not only are the Chiefs not going to win a Super Bowl again, but their issues aren't being resolved this year. We'll come back and discuss a 21-17 win, Eagles over the Chiefs. By the way, that number closed Chiefs 2.5, but you could have got the 3 like we discussed with the Eagles yesterday on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Total Wine, Spirits, Beer, and more. Lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love. Love what you find at Total Wine. Please drink responsibly. Must be 21 years or older. Got you back here, Sharp. You can stop by Total Wine for Thanksgiving. Pick up some libations. Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, live downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you back. So I said, you know, football in its popularity, it's pretty easy to figure out. You take a look at the ratings for television. It's essentially the top 30 every single year. Football just absolutely dominates our culture. And fantasy sports has a lot to do with it. Sports betting, this is even before PASPA was overturned. You know, we've been betting, whether it's squares during the Super Bowl with just randos or sports betting. I was thinking about, you know, back in 2009 when I was filling in on Mad Dog, I was talking sports betting then. Like, people were still betting before it became legalized with, of course, DraftKings. So sports betting, it's a sport that it's easy to bet on and people can kind of conceptualize. Once a week, the anticipation, you know, the buildup every Sunday, we'll call it physicality. But also it's easy to diagnose. Like, most people can understand what's happening on a football field and it's not that hard to figure out. And with the Chiefs, who lost last night 21-17 to the Eagles and we cashed another under, have a glaring issue. And it's pretty simple, big guy. It's wide receiver. I mean, everyone can diagnose it. It's not hard to see. And all you have to do is look towards the end of the game, 2nd and 10. Of course, 1:50 to go. Mahomes throws a perfect ball. And Mahomes showed some of those throws last night were just jaw-dropping from Mahomes. But he threw a perfect ball to Valdez-Scantling, who is a mid-football player, and he just dropped it. He didn't catch the ball, and that was the go-ahead score with 1:50 to go. Simple. The quality is lacking. It's funny. Because even on the 4th and 25 that they needed to pick up, was it Justin Watson who let the ball go directly through his hands? Mahomes threw a perfect ball there. You're not supposed to pick up 4th and 25. Mahomes delivered a dime. Justin Watson, who is below mid, missed the ball. So, again, you understand what I'm saying here. And it's not hard to diagnose. You're watching this team, and something just feels off. I talked about it before we went to break. Like, there is a reason every time you're looking at the power rankings, and we've done the shtick here on VSiN, Sharp Money, where we put together our power rankings, and none of us had Kansas City at number one. There's no reason not to put Kansas City one on every power ranking. They are the defending champs. They did beat the Eagles, who are sitting 9-1. Like, why wouldn't you? Andy Reid is still there. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in football. He's still there, but something feels off. And again, easy to diagnose. They just don't have skill on the outside. Let me put it this way. It's 17-7 at the break, right, at halftime. Did you feel like the Eagles were out of it?
No, never. Not once.
No. You know why you should have felt like the Eagles were out of it? Up 10 or more at the break, Patrick Mahomes in his career, 34-1. Now they're 34-2. He doesn't lose. They hadn't lost at the break when they're up 10 or more. Yesterday they did. And if we're being fair, you can point to one position, wide receiver. Because it's easy, and Kelce, and those of you that want to poo-poo the human element when it comes to Travis Kelce, 7-44. So he's averaging, without your girl, Taylor in the stands, 41 yards a game. He's averaging 108 with Swifty in the stands. Trust me when I tell you, it's real. These are human beings. I digress. You can game plan, if you're an opposing defense, to shut down Travis Kelce when you don't have the Tyreek Hill threat on the outside. And that's exactly what's happening right now. Again, this is a team in the Chiefs that the reason they're not at the top of power rankings, let me put it to you this way. They were held scoreless in the second half last night. How about the week before, or before the bye, they were held scoreless in the second half against Miami? How about the week before that, Kansas City was held scoreless in the second half against Denver? How about before that, they scored 7 points in the week before that against the Chargers, and 6 points the week before that against Denver? So the last 5 games, second half-wise, the Chiefs have scored 13 total points. It's almost impossible to do. There's no chance anybody has been inept that offensively, like offensively, I'll use that term in a literal way, offensively in the second half. Speaking of which, in the fourth quarter, and this is for you bettors that like to go quarters, the Kansas City Chiefs have scored 19 points in the fourth quarter all year. That's the worst in the NFL. This is an issue. The defense is tremendous. The defense is a top 5 unit. I'm not arguing that, big guy. The issue is the offense, and it has nothing to do with Mahomes. He did everything he could. Yeah, I understand Pacheco is a hard runner, and Edwards-Helaire hasn't lived up to all that. You can have all that. The offensive line is fine. That's not the issue. The issue is they can't score, and that's why right now at 7-3, I don't know how much confidence you have in this Chiefs team.
No, I mean, look, Patrick Mahomes hit more fingertips yesterday than my middle school girlfriend. Like, he put it right on the money every single time, and these guys didn't come through. I had MVS over 1.5 receptions, by the way, Patrick. Don't shake your head at me. It's a lie. I didn't even have a middle school girlfriend. I didn't talk to girls yet. Everyone knows that. But MVS, Patrick, I had over 1.5 receptions. Literally in the fourth quarter, blew that prop for me. Would have given me a 2-1 night. Instead, it's a 1-2 night because I decided to fade DeAndre Swift. There are bigger issues, though, because it can't just be that this offense misses Juju Smith-Schuster, right? Like, there's got to be something else going on that it looks so clunky, and they just can't reach back and have those plays on offense that they've had time and time again with Mahomes under center. Like, they've always had close games, and in the end, they always find a way to make something happen in the fourth quarter. That's just not happening this year, and it can't just be Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't know what it is.
You co-opted all of my Kansas City points. I broke down halves, I broke down quarters, and you took that information and used it as an opportunity to flex about your bets, your props, which is typical in the space. I get it, having to flex about your bets that you did or didn't hit. I said all of those words, and you came back with, hey, I missed out on a prop because your boy Valdez-Scantling didn't catch that ball in the end zone. That's what you took from it?
No, it's more that the receivers stink for Kansas City. That's what I took away from it. But there isn't it. But there's a bigger issue. Who did they lose in the offseason? They lost Juju. Like,
No, this isn't a Juju Smith-Schuster.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's something else going on where it looks so clunky.
Who'd they add at the trade deadline? Mecole Hardman? That's not going to get it done.
Yeah.
This is an off-season issue. But again, don't you find it a bit peculiar that this is a defending champ, a budding dynasty, if you look like dynastically across 100 plus years of the NFL, like the Chiefs start to fall into that. If they make another Super Bowl, they are legit a dynasty, even if they were to lose it. And you look at any power ranking and nobody has faith in this team. Again, I talked about it. Fantasy, gambling, anticipation, physicality. There's a lot of reasons football is very popular. But also, you can watch that game last night if you're Diane Regis. Shout to my mom in Michigan watching the game, which she was, and texting me and saying somebody needs to help out Patrick Mahomes. It's very easy to diagnose. The Chiefs have an outside problem.
Yeah, but what's funny is the style they're trying to play is the style Philly is winning with right now, which is like, we want it to be ugly. It's okay. When it matters, we're going to figure it out. Just for whatever reason, I don't trust Kansas City and their offense to make the plays right now. Where Philly, the stats are irrelevant. Every single week, they do it a little bit differently and just grind out a victory. So I think I come out of that game. I don't want to get too low on Kansas City because I still think that the path to the Super Bowl still goes through Arrowhead. But I am not as confident. And it'll be interesting to see how the market moves, right? How low could Kansas City possibly get? We saw San Francisco lose three in a row and barely move in Super Bowl odds. I think the same thing will happen with Kansas City. They could lose a couple games here. They'll still be at the top of the betting board.
Do me a favor. I want give me the MVP odds for both. And again, Hurts' numbers weren't glaring last night, but I want Hurts and Mahomes. And set up the sound for me here. Who do we got?
Hurts is the favorite, plus 250. Mahomes is third, 4-1. Let's hear from Nick Sirianni after the game, who said there were no style points last night.
You know, it really showed itself tonight how together we were. Again, because that was just a gritty grind. Whoever was going to win that game was going to win it gritty, grimy. It wasn't pretty on either side, right? And whoever was going to win that game was going to do it gritty, grimy, nasty, what are those adjectives? Yeah, okay, thanks. I went to Mount Union, but it is a good school. But, you know, it was going to be that way. And the guys just stayed together and kept fighting and kept grinding it out. And, you know, we were able to come out on top.
This is why I will fight with you. Donk has a positive connotation as well. I call my dog a donk. She shakes her tail. She gets happy. Sirianni is a donk, but he's also a very good coach. And I like him. He's ADD. Yeah. Obviously, he's over there swatting like a kitty, swatting the yarn ball. But he's a very good coach, and you can tell the team likes him and respects him.
Because he's a donk, he's always just floating around, so he's always right here, just stays right here all the time.
Positive connotation, Sirianni's a donk. Negative connotation, you're a donk. Positive, Jake Assman from New York, ESPN Radio next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
This actually gets me excited, the fact that, remember, we were giving away subscriptions to become a VSIN Pro for $120, but this week, Black Friday special, $60. And you get everything we offer through May 1st. So it's going to go through March Madness, through the college football playoff, through the NFL playoffs. You get the daily best bets, VSiN leaderboards, betting splits, everything we offer. A little Black Friday special for you right now, $60. You're not going to find a better deal than this. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, our next guest, a little birdie told me, he used to listen and call in, big guy, to our old show, The Wrap, on Mad Dog Sports Radio when he was making Chipotle runs. But let me jock your boy Jake Assman for a second, because over at Circa, which is, of course, part of the D where we do our broadcast from, our buddy Derek Stevens, he has these like competitions where people like Jake, and he's going to join us now. He does the Jake Assman Show on YouTube, also host on ESPN Radio New York, at Jake Assman on Twitter. What they'll do is somebody that's popular on YouTube, which is awesome, like Jake, will have a party, and he's a Jets guy. He had like over 300 of his listeners come out just to Circa. You know how impossible that is for a content creator to get 300 plus people to show up at Circa like that? So I give you props, Jake, and welcome to the program. How are you?
Wow, it is an honor to be on with you, Patrick. And the little birdie is right. I've been listening to you for a long time. Love you, love Dustin. So great to be with you, man. And I guess I'm bummed that you weren't one of the 300-plus people that came out to Circa a few weeks back to party with us.
Well, it's an honor to have you, and thank you for the kind words. We're thrilled to talk to you. No, that's incredible to get that many people, a big fan of your show and a big fan of the Jets, to show up, which is maybe the best casino on the planet, that being Circa and Circa Sports and Stadium Swim. Let's talk about your Jets, the Jake Asman show, of course. You cover the Jets. Let's discuss. So the quarterback question continues. Where are you right now as far as, do you expect to see Rodgers and Zach Wilson? Break those two down.
Well, Zach Wilson, I hope I never see again. And it's not personal, but I mean, this was a move going to Boyle or Simeon, whoever, should have made weeks ago. I mean, I'm just disgusted with how the season has played out, where, you know, you look at the AFC and how wide open it is, and the Jets having this great defense, and for the second year in a row, it's wasted playing a quarterback who can't play. I mean, and it's just, so that drives me nuts. So I hope I never have to see Zach Wilson again. I mean, he went from the starter to now he's the third string quarterback. So what does that tell you? And then, look, as far as Rodgers, I mean, I was listening to him on Pat McAfee's show earlier, and he's insistent on coming back, and he's jogging on the treadmill now. I mean, if the Jets are completely out of it, which if they lose Friday and they're 4-7, I don't know how they would get back in it. You know, I don't think I want him to come back with this offensive line being in shambles right now with all the injuries. But I'll put it like this, Patrick. I think it's way more likely we see Aaron Rodgers play for the Jets again than we ever do Zach Wilson this season.
Jake, how
interesting. And I think most Jets fans, big guy, would appreciate not seeing Wilson again. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jake, how hard is it for you to watch Josh Dobbs do what he's doing with the Vikings right now? And how shocked are you that they did not try and add a quarterback at the deadline?
So it is painful to see Josh Dobbs go out there and do what he's doing. It's painful to hear the reports that Carson Wentz, look, I don't even love Carson Wentz, but Carson Wentz's agent called the Jets up and said, hey, you sure you don't want to sign my guy, right before he signed with the Rams? Like, he would have this team in a better spot right now. Jacoby Brissett was reportedly available for a day 3 pick. So, yeah, like, you look at all these guys, and if the Jets would have, let's say, one or two more wins right now, instead of being 4-6, you're 6-4, and all of a sudden Rodgers actually coming back would provide like a real sense of, oh my God, like, could this actually happen? And now it's like, you know, one of those things where you just feel like you wasted the year. So it's incredibly frustrating. I guess I'm not shocked they didn't do anything, because they are either just, you know, punting on this year completely, or they actually thought Zach Wilson was somehow going to be a good quarterback. Either way, it puts this organization in a terrible light. And, you know, we as Jet fans, we suffer because we see how good this defense is, how talented Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson are, and how for the second year in a row it is seemingly wasted trying to play a quarterback who is the white Jamarcus Russell at this point. Like, look at the stats. It's crazy to me that they went into a year with a 39-year-old quarterback, and they said, well, Zach, we benched you for Chris Streveler and Mike White last year, but now we're going to go back to you in a spot where you're one hit away from coming into this game and trying to save the season. And they did nothing. So, I don't know. I've ranted about this so many times, guys. I'm worn down. I'm frustrated. I think I speak for most Jet fans. We're just sick of garbage quarterback play, and that's all we've received from Zach Wilson since he's been a Jet.
I love it. I love hearing it. Jake Asman, the Jake Asman Show on YouTube. If you're a football fan, a Jets fan, no better place. And by the way, when he had over 300 of his fans show up at Stadium Swim in Circa, one of the dudes that showed up was Fireman Ed. Okay, the donk that does the cheering at MetLife, that donk showed up for Jake. So that's a good job. We are sports betting. That's right. Waving the big hat. We are sports betting network. So let's do this. We got Black Friday. I don't expect you to know a ton about Tim Boyle. I watched him quarterback 3 Lions games. He's not very good, but he's going to be under center for your Jets on Black Friday, hosting the Dolphins. The Dolphins are laying 10 here, Jake.
It's a weird spot, Patrick, because as down as I am on the Jets, I really think like just the boost of any quarterback coming in might provide some juice for this offense. Like 10 points for a divisional opponent. The Jets are at home. I think the crowd's going to be into it because it's, once again, it's not Zach Wilson at quarterback. Maybe it's just the Jet fan of me. I don't think it'd be the craziest thing in the world, though. This is like a game in the second half, and you're going to want the 10 points. 10 points seems like a lot for a Dolphins team that kind of struggled to put away Aiden O'Connell and the Raiders at home last week. So, look, Boyle's not any good. You're 100% right. I just think his presence might provide a spark, and I think the Jets defense having a game where it felt like they kind of cracked last week and just the offense being a net finally got to them against the Bills, so they had a bad game. I think they want to bounce back. The Jets don't want to be embarrassed in a standalone primetime game on Black Friday with the whole country watching, so it wouldn't shock me if it's a competitive game. This is a Jets team that does have a win over the Eagles this year. They nearly beat the Chiefs. They beat the Bills on opening night. So they've beaten some good teams this year. So it wouldn't shock me if you take the point and it's somehow a close game. I don't feel confident saying it, but if I had to make a pick, I think I'd grab the 10 points with the Jets at home.
By the way, big guy, I'm with Jake.
Yeah.
I think it's a hilarious number. Like, the Dolphins shouldn't be doubles on the road against anybody. Like, again, that is a legit top five defensive unit with the Jets. And Jake just nailed it. You're always going to get a bounce with a new quarterback. The team is going to feel re-energized. The idea that the Dolphins are laying doubles on the road to anybody is a joke.
Yeah, potentially some weather issues as well, like in the Northeast. Like, you don't know what we're walking into. I guess the confidence level in Robert Saleh, one is the fan base, but two, should Robert Saleh be confident in his job security right now, Jake?
I would be shocked if they fired him. But, I mean, if they spiral out of control, Justin, it's going to be tough for me to kind of defend Robert Saleh here. I mean, you look at his record, it's not very good. But I push back on it because, like, when any quarterback not named Zach Wilson has played, whether it's Joe Flacco or Mike White or even Josh Johnson for 300 yards in a game against the Colts 2 years ago, like, they've all looked better. So I don't think Saleh's, you know, Vince Lombardi, but I look around the league and, you know, I used to do afternoon radio in Houston for 5 years. And I look at what D'Amico Ryans is doing with the Texans. The only difference between D'Amico Ryans and Robert Saleh to me is one guy with the second overall pick got CJ Stroud. The other guy had Zach Wilson. So before we just sit here and say, oh, fire Saleh, let's start all over, I just would like to see him with a different quarterback. And obviously, with Aaron Rodgers running the offense seemingly and Saleh handling defense, I think he could be a decent coach. Guys play hard for him. They don't quit on him. He's built one of the best defenses in the league, which is his specialty. So I personally like Saleh. I think he'll be back next year. The only scenario where he's not back is if either Rodgers doesn't want him back, or I guess this team just spirals and they finish with only 4 or 5 wins, then maybe Woody Johnson, the owner, would make a change at that point. But I like him, and I think he should be back next season.
Totally agree with Jake. Look, this is the way you judge coaches. If Robert Saleh was fired today, would he get hired by another team? 100% yes. Like, I actually think the way that he handled the Zach Wilson situation, I liked it. I know a lot of people are coming down on him. He got an edict from Douglas and the Johnsons to play the kid, and he protected him. He put himself out in front of the train. Love Saleh. Totally agree. Jake, I have to discuss this. And since you used to listen to our old show, you probably know my best friend is Evan Roberts, who hosts the midday show on The Fan in New York. You probably are a little bit more handsome, but you look exactly like Evan Roberts. It's freaking me out right now.
I'm so glad you brought this up, Patrick, because I was going to try and squeeze this in, but I wasn't sure if we were going to have time. So growing up as a kid from Long Island who wanted to do sports talk radio for a long time, my friends would tease me and call me Evan Roberts. Evan is my guy. I love Evan. I'm very close with his old partner, Joe Beningo, who comes on my YouTube show all the time. He's obviously probably the biggest Jets fan on the planet. So I love that you brought that up because I know you guys are friends. Evan's talked about you on the show before. So it's awesome that you made that connection. I appreciate that.
No, again, no offense, Evan. I think Jake's a little bit more handsome, but they do look alike. Listen, kid, I'm thrilled for your success, continued success. The Jake Asman Show, ASMAN is the way you spell it, on YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe. Give him a little thumbs up. He's doing a great job. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate you.
He appreciates you guys. Thank you so much, Patrick and Dustin. Keep up the great work, man. You guys are awesome.
Rivalry week is next. College football, Michigan, Ohio State.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly as a new customer at DraftKings. Just download the DraftKings app and use the promo code SHARP Again, $5 gets you 150. No sweat, same game parlay every day for everybody over at DraftKings. DraftKings, the crown is yours. We got you back here on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the sports betting network, and we talked about rivalry week, and I've kind of ranked the rivalries. I'm Patrick Maher, of course, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. So let's talk about some of these rivalries. And again, you've got a great top three matchup, and that is Michigan hosting Ann Arbor. It's going to be nuts, Ohio State. You want to go on a steamy roller coaster ride as far as the number? Check this out. So right now we're sitting, of course, Michigan laying 3.5, total of 46. We'll get to the total coming up in just a bit, because with this rivalry, the total has been fascinating. But how about this over at DraftKings? So they opened 2.5 with Michigan laying it. Immediately it got hit up to 6. Okay, think about that. From 2.5 all the way up to 6. So we go 3 up to another key number of 6. It starts to come back down and go Ohio State's way, big guy, down to 4. And then continues to trickle down to where we sit right now at 3.5. That is, you don't generally see swings in a number like that, specifically with a game like this, without a major injury. I understand the J.J. McCarthy news, but again, from 6 all the way down, again, Michigan hosting this rivalry, from 6 all the way down to 3.5. Now, a lot is on the line. It's not just about the college football playoff, but the Big Ten East will be decided in Ann Arbor on Saturday. I mentioned both teams 11-0. It's what you hope for. Second straight year that both Ohio State and Michigan come into the matchup, big guy, undefeated. Michigan, who had struggled for years and years and years, Tressel just absolutely owned the Wolverines. Michigan has now won 2 straight in the series. What's fascinating about this is you take a look at the total, and we're sitting 46.5, big guy. We've got sound from Harbaugh coming up in just a bit. 46.5. You know the last time this rivalry stayed under 46.5?
Oh, God. It's got to be at least 12 years?
It's 2010. So while you think of defense, you think of Shin Beckler, you think of Woody Hayes, you think of Cooper, you think of defense, we haven't had a total stay under this 46.5 since 2010. That's a long time, and your guess was well done. Although, you take a look at these two teams this year, Michigan is number one nationally in scoring defense, and Ohio State is number two nationally in scoring defense. So, again, reasons to look to the under, but history tells us otherwise. Again, Michigan's given up 9 per, and Ohio State's given up 9.3 per. However, even with Ohio State playing their best ball heading to Ann Arbor, I'll give you 3 distinct advantages for Michigan this year.
Okay.
One, we're going to start with special teams. And when I tell you Ohio State special teams are a disaster, they're disastrous. Like, I have no clue. The coordinator has to go, because every aspect and facet of their special teams have been a disaster. And a game like this, where you're sitting 3, 3.5, slim margins are decided by special teams. So that's number one, Michigan, a big advantage. Number two, Michigan's defensive front against a very inconsistent Ohio State offensive line. Matthew Jones has been rock solid for Ohio State. Other than that, that's it. Constantly up and down. Michigan, specifically on the inside of that defensive front, should be able to push Ohio State around. That's big in the trenches. And number three, it's Michigan's run game. These are the 3 reasons Michigan not only covers 3.5, but I think they whoop Ohio State in Ann Arbor this Saturday. It's Michigan's run game. When teams have committed to running, and Knowles is a tremendous defensive coordinator, but when teams have committed to running against this Ohio State team, they can. To the tune of Notre Dame goes for over 170, and Rutgers went for 232 on the ground because they committed to the run. What does Michigan want to do? Michigan didn't attempt the pass in the second half against Penn State. Michigan is absolutely going to pummel Ohio State with the run game. And another thing you may want to look into, my assumption is you're the first half whiz, and first quarters as well. Ohio State has this year perpetually been a slow starting team. If they start slowly on Saturday in Ann Arbor, it's curtains. So again, 3 reasons: special teams, advantage Michigan, Michigan's defensive front against a shaky or at least an up and down offensive front of Ohio State. And Michigan's run game, when a concerted effort is made, you can run all over this Ohio State defense and then the slow starts. Those are the three, plus the slow starts, the fourth reason Michigan is going to win this Saturday in Ann Arbor and cover the 3.5.
Yeah, a slow starts, by the way, for Ohio State against bad teams. Like, they let Maryland hang around. Like,
correct.
Maryland, who barely squeaked by against Nebraska, who has zero quarterback play. Before I get to some of the things that jumped out to me, I agree with every single thing you said. In fact, I think the worst unit on the field in this game is Ohio State's offensive line. And that's going to be the key to the game. Another thing that you did not mention there, though, is Jim Harbaugh will not be on the sidelines part of his suspension. He met with the media yesterday and was asked about the team dealing with what's going on and all the outside noise.
It's like the Ted Lasso show, you know, believe. And what comes out of that is believe. And I'm just so proud of our team. Despite that noise, our locker room's in one piece. And like Ted, for me, locker rooms, a lot like my mom's bathing suits. I like to see him in one piece.
Look, he is a legitimate psychopath, and he's super weird, but that's authentic because he's just odd. And I'm going to tell you something. I shouldn't have laughed, but I laughed at the one-piece bathing suit line. It's not terrible.
It's a good bit. It's a good bit. But Jim Harbaugh definitely wears tighty whities too, by the way. Definitely a tighty whitey.
100%.
Like, there's no 100%. Doubt in my mind. Look, I think everything points to Michigan covering what is now a short number. Like, you have to jump. If you're jumping in now, you're jumping in on Michigan. Even the 6, I think they were going to cover the 6. They're the superior team. And I know a lot of people want to look to Maryland and how they let the Terps hang around a week ago. That's a classic sandwich spot.
Impossible spot for Michigan.
Just a classic sandwich spot. You've got Penn State the week before. You've got Ohio State after that. I've noticed it more this year than ever. Teams with a big game coming out the week prior, they're a little flatter. They're a little more vanilla. And that's what we saw from the Wolverines. Another key on the defensive side, Michigan's allowing teams to complete just 54% of their passes. Go look at Kyle McCord's game logs. Well, I think Kyle McCord's actually been better than people are giving him credit for this year. He's made a lot of fourth quarter throws when he's had to. His lowest completion percentage of the year was 56.8% against Notre Dame, and that was their closest game of the season. So I think there's a lot pointing to Michigan being able to get to him and disrupt him a little bit. And also for the under talk, Michigan plays at the second slowest pace in college football. The only team that plays slower than them is Air Force. Ohio State's not looking to run it up either now with this their new style of offense with McCord under center. They're outside of the top 80 in the way they pace a play. I think a lot points to the under, but even more points to Michigan. And I think J.J. McCarthy, they've been saving all everything they're dialing up in the passing game for this game right here. We will see him use his arm if he has to in the fourth quarter.
So you've got Michigan covering the 3.5.
Absolutely. And I, by the way, I went into this wanting to bet Ohio State. I thought there were vibes about them. I wanted to take the points because it's a rivalry game. No, not this year. Jim Harbaugh not on the sidelines. I think we discussed it when it first happened on the show. We didn't think it mattered much in the first couple games because most of his work as the head coach is done in the lead up to it. Now, in this game, where it could come down to a coaching decision late in the game, do you think his absence is greater?
No. Again, this is the Big Ten hedged their bet with the suspension when they allowed Jim Harbaugh to coach up until the game. That's it. The conversation's done. His impact on the sideline during the game means absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, I'd flip it like we talked about here on Sharp Money and tell you it's an advantage. These kids love the edge. They love having the motivation. Again, the coaching lead up, that runway is what matters.
And if you don't think those Michigan coaches aren't in that locker room telling these kids, Ohio State's the one who put out this attack on you and your coaching staff. They're the ones saying we're cheating. Go show them that we're not the cheaters. We're going to beat them straight up.
100%. So, again, Michigan State not only wins, they cover the 3.5. Why? Special teams advantage. Defensive front against, as you mentioned, Ohio State's offensive line, which has been up and down. And I disagree with the J.J. McCarthy angle. I think they are absolutely going to pound Ohio State on the ground, just like Notre Dame did, and just like Rutgers and your boy Greg Schiano did, to the tune of 232 yards. If Rutgers is running up 232 against Ohio State, what do you think Corum and Edwards are going to do? The answer is more. Cover the 3.5. Let's go blue. Amazing. All of a sudden, they're victims? Take it easy, Michigan. We're back. Sharp money.